on this meeting. Thank you for open heaven already, and thank you for utterance from heaven. Lord, I yield myself completely into your loving hands. I pray, Father, that I will flow with your spirit and in your spirit to be a blessing to your people. Lord, at that which you have prepared today, let everyone receive his and her portion, and let your name be praised and let your name be glorified. Thank you, loving and eternal Father. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Hallelujah. Today, by the grace of God, I am ministering on a theme, My Coat of Many Colors. My Coat of Many Colors. And now you can relate that to the song that we learned. I've got a coat, you've got a coat. All of God's children have got a coat. So please, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. And I'm going to read the whole of the chapter. And I want you to follow very carefully this morning as we look into this message together, My Coat of Many Colors. Genesis chapter 37 from verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence. For I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan, And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beasts have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come into unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goat and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. And evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Hallelujah. Now, I said this morning, I am speaking on the topic, my coat of many colors. In this passage, the Bible tells us that Joseph had a coat of many colors, and his father made this coat for him. Joseph's coat was not just physical. Brethren, I want us to know much more this morning that Joseph's coat was spiritual. That coat of many colors for Joseph signifies favor with God and favor with man. But the Bible tells us that Joseph's brothers envied him, and because of envy, they stripped Joseph of his coat, howbeit his coat of many colors. But brethren, although Joseph's brothers stripped him of his coat of many colors, God made for this young man another coat. In the sense that Joseph never ran out of favor. He was never out of favor with God and never out of favor with man. Everywhere Joseph went, the favor of God accompanied him. The favor of God followed Joseph everywhere he went. But this morning, much more for you and I want us to understand the fact that we have a Heavenly Father also. And our Heavenly Father has given to each one of us a coat of many colors. And like Joseph's coat, this coat of many colors for us signifies God's favor, God's protection, God's provision, and also God's blessings generally. That's why I want us to turn our Bibles at this point to the book of Psalms, Psalm 91, and let us remind ourselves again of the promise of God to us in that passage. Psalm 91, and very quickly, we are going to read the whole of the chapter. Psalm 91, are you there, please? All right. Psalm 91, from verse 1. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore God said, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation." Hallelujah. You know, what we find in this passage is the total package that is all that is embedded in our coat of many colors. Are you talking of favor? Yes, it is there in that coat of many colors. Are you talking of divine protection? Yes, it is there in your coat of many colors. Are you talking about divine provision? Yes, it is there in your coat of many colors. Are you talking about divine guidance, as it is written that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God? It is there in your coat of many colors. Talk about blessings of any shade or color. It is there in that coat of many colors that the Lord provides for you and I. Hallelujah. And let me say this to you this morning, that at the start of life, when you started your life, God at the start of life gives to every one of us this coat of many colors. At the start of life, God gives to every one of us our guardian angel to watch over us, to protect us, and to help us generally along in life. Again, let's confirm this in scripture. Please turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 18, and then we are going to read verse 10. Matthew chapter 18, very quickly. Yes, Matthew chapter 18, and then verse 10. Yes, Matthew 18:10. He says, Jesus here was speaking to his disciples. He said, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, when Jesus Christ said they are angels, who was he referring to? He was referring to the angels of these little children, of little children. So, which means this passage confirms that every little child has a guardian angel, right? Now, again, let's see another thing in Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. When the nation of Israel, when they were leaving Egypt, let's read it from verse 20. Exodus 23 from verse 20. When they were leaving Egypt and they were going to the promised land through the wilderness, God said to them that he will give them an angel. Now, let's read it from verse 20 of that place. Exodus chapter 23 from verse 20. God said there, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Hallelujah. This month, may the Lord send his angel to go ahead of you in the name of Jesus. As we cross into the latter part of the year, you know, for the rest of our journey, in this year 2012, may the Lord send his angel to go ahead of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, listen to what we are sharing together this morning. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 verse 10 that the angels of little children, they behold the face of the Father in heaven. Which means every little child has a guardian angel. Every baby that is born into the world came into the world guided, supported, being serviced by a guardian angel. But you see, as we grow up, certain things happen. And then, like God warned the children of Israel when they were leaving the promised land, and God said to them, I am going to give you an angel to go with you, to help you. But be careful. make sure you don't annoy him. And please take note that the same warning that God gave to the children of Israel, he has also given to us as believers. When God said through Paul and said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And then again he repeated in another place, he said, do not quench the Spirit. For the children of Israel, it was possible for them to annoy this angel that God has given to them to accompany them, to minister to them, and then to help them. And for us also, as believers, we can do the same thing. And now let me ask you, now that we have checked the word of God together, how many of you in this service this morning, you believe with me that when you were born, an angel followed you? When you were born, you came into the world with a guardian angel. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, the question that I want to ask you this morning is this. Now, where is your guardian angel? You see, a lot of us, as we grow up in life, especially when we begin to get into our teen years, the teen ages, they are usually the ages of rebellion and waywardness. Most of the people who go wayward, they usually start as teenagers. Most of the people who swerve off in life, either into crime or into immorality and all kinds of perversions, all kinds of waywardness, it always starts in those teen years. And that agrees with one Yoruba proverb. Wani dani dani ki bani lagba ati kekere oloti mamba won lo. That is why if anybody can cross the teen years between the age 13 and 19 or between ages 12 and 20, that person will make it wonderfully well in life. So a lot of us, that is when we say to our parents, leave me alone, leave me alone, I am the owner of my life. You know, a teenager wants to tell the parents she's the owner of her life. And if that girl becomes pregnant, you know, can she bear the responsibilities and the repercussions of the pregnancy? I was reading in the news, I think it was on Friday, a very, very, very pathetic story of a teenage girl in Ibadan. You know, this girl, I'm sure she had a man friend. She was 15 years old. 15. And yet, she was befriending a man in his 20s. Maybe around 20, 29. And this young man was a criminal. You know, somebody who takes drugs and drinks and do all sorts of things. And one day it was said that this young girl visited this man. And the man claimed his jewelries were missing, maybe wristwatch and some gold and that kind of thing. And accused this young girl that she was the one who stole them. And the girl denied that she was not the one that took it. And later, much more later, they discovered that that girl was not the one that took it. And that's why those of you that are still young, and you are befriending, you have friends that are not committed to God, friends that will lead you away from God. Listen to me this morning. The devil has nothing good to offer anybody. At the end of it, you are the one that will regret. I say, had I known. He pays to serve God. You know how this young man, a man of about 29, to a girl of 15, you know how this man decided to punish that girl? He invited her to his house one of the days and invited two other teenage boys. Boys of about 14, 15, two of them. And they said he drank himself and took some drugs and started to beat those boys and beat the girl and tell the girl to undress herself and be naked and force those boys to rape the girl. He was not the one that did it. He asked those boys to rape the girl one by one while he was watching. And you know what happened? Unfortunately for this girl, she became pregnant. And because she was trying to abort the pregnancy, she went to a quack doctor. And in the process, she died. It was while she was having stomach pain and troubles and all of that, and they rushed her to hospital, and then they were interrogating her, that she narrated what happened. As I'm speaking to you, the police in Ibadan have arrested those teenage secondary school boys. The other man that of 29, the criminal, they are still looking for him now. He has been declared wanted. But that girl, where is she now? She's dead. And with your knowledge of the word of God, where is she? In heaven or in hell? Listen to me, teenagers. Those of you that are still young, even those of you in your 20s, don't live your life recklessly. Some of you, when you come to church and you listen to the sound word of God, you say that pastor is old school. This is your new school. Be careful that it does not push you to hellfire. Be careful that this your new school does not push you to an early grave. You know, I read this story. And I wished I knew this girl and I could do something to bring her back to life. Already dead. 15 years. You know, a lot of us, we love independence. We love freedom. Even church members, a lot of you come to church, yet you don't submit to the church. A lot of wives are married, and yet they don't submit to their husbands. A lot of us, worse still, are not submissive to God who made us our creator. And I tell you, it is all this disobedience and stubbornness that grieve the Holy Spirit. And then he turns away. And then the angels, they step aside. And they turn their backs. And that's why, if all of you have admitted and agreed with me this morning that when you came into life, God brought you into life with his angel. When did you chase your angel away? At what point did you chase your angel away? At what point did you drive your guardian angel? The angel that God gave you when you came into life, to pilot you through life, to guide you through life, to be like your bodyguard and protect you through life. You know, now people talk about HIV and AIDS. Do you know the meaning of AIDS? Acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Once somebody contacts that virus, attacks the immunity of that person. It destroys the immunity of that person. It renders that person defenseless. Thank God most of us in Lagos, we live in fenced houses. Imagine somebody coming, like now that the rain is heavy, lots of fences are collapsing, right? And then you suddenly, maybe rain starts in the night, and then around 1 a.m. 12, you suddenly hear a loud sound, and you realize that all the four walls surrounding your house have collapsed. How will you feel? You will feel exposed. You will feel vulnerable, right? You will feel defenseless. And that is the lot and portion of those who grieve the Spirit of God. That is the lot and portion of those who willingly disobey God. You know, their angels will be withdrawn. The Holy Spirit will turn his back against them. Their immunity and defense in life will be removed. Situations that should not defeat them will defeat them. Things that should not bring them down will bring them down. Sicknesses that ordinarily, and that's why, you know, when people who have AIDS die, it is not actually AIDS that kills them. That virus does not kill. What that virus does is to weaken the immunity of a person and destroy them. That any little sickness will kill that person. It may be just mere cough or cold or headache. That AIDS virus does not kill. What kills is any little, because all the defenses are gone. Once somebody has HIV, you know, the immunity will be going little by little, until all of them is destroyed. And hey, when that person now is now left without any immunity, it's not like you are, imagine you are living in a house without door, no fence, no door, no burglary proof or any iron or wood or glass on your window. You are rendered vulnerable. Anything, anybody can come into that house and attack you. That is what happens. And that is what is happening to many Christians spiritually. Physically, you may not have HIV/AIDS, but a lot of churchgoers who call themselves Christians are spiritually infected. Their immunity has been destroyed. They no longer enjoy any protection from God. God is no longer defending them. God is no longer providing for them. God is no longer directing their lives. Any moment, any time, any demon, anywhere can chance them. Listen to me this morning. I say here, if the enemy strips you of your coat of many colors, God will replace it. But never remove or tear your own coat of many colors. Are you listening to me? Look at Joseph, for God's sake. When his brothers, because of envy, the Bible says they stripped him of that coat. But they didn't know that that coat was not just a physical coat. That coat represented for that young man favor with God and favor with man. So when they removed the physical coat, God gave him another one in the realm of the spirit. And that was why everywhere he went, the presence of God was with him. The favor of God never left him. Listen to me again this morning. If by sin, you remove or tear your coat of many colors, then you are in trouble. You will run out of favor, both with God and with man. And you will become spiritually naked and vulnerable. Go again and read the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. The moment they went into sin, that was when they knew that they were naked. That nakedness was not physical nakedness, really. Because they had been physically naked all this while. Why was it that they didn't see it? It was because it was much more a spiritual issue. And that's why a lot of us It is when we are falling spiritually that we busy ourselves with so much and too much of physical activities. No wonder that Jesus Christ shouted to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are too busy with many things, but look at your sister. She has chosen the better option." And sisters in particular, please listen to me. A lot of sisters, they take so much care of their body. Eyelashes, eye pencil, and then the one at the cheek, and then you paint your lips, and then you make your hair, and then you put the head cover, and then you stand in the front of the mirror for so long. You know how long it takes many of our sisters to dress up. But the way you dress up your physical body, is that the way you take good care of your spiritual body? Or don't you know that you are a spirit having a soul? You are only living in this body. Listen to me. Go to the mortuary and look at a corpse. That is the picture of what is waiting for you and I ahead. This body that we take so much time and pain to take good care of, the moment you breathe your last breath, becomes useless. Nobody will keep you in the house. If you're a man, if you die, your wife will not say, because she loves you so much, and keep your corpse in your bedroom for 3 days. You begin to smell. Your wife will see you and run away. If they keep you in that room for 1 week, my God, there will be so much stench. You will swell up. House flies will surround you. Listen to me. A lot of you are putting wrong emphasis on the wrong things in life. You are taking care of your body, and you are not taking care of your soul, and you are not taking care of your spirit. If by sin you remove or tear your own coat of many colors, then you'll be in big trouble. That is when you realize how naked you are, and then you will become very, very vulnerable. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8, it says, "He that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite him." A lot of believers have broken their hedges, and serpents are biting them. Let me ask you this morning, where have you broken your hedge? And where is the serpent beginning to bite you? As I continue, let me quickly give to you some other biblical illustrations of our coat of many colors. Number one, you find the story of Job in the book of Job. And in Job chapter 1 verse 10 in particular, Satan there, he complained that he could not do any harm to this man. Why? Because God's protective hedge around Job was still intact. Let me ask you this morning, is the protection of God around you still intact? Is the protection of God around your family still intact? Or you have broken your own hedge? Imagine a man who suddenly wakes up in the morning and takes a digger or a big hammer and starts to hit the fence of his house. And nothing is wrong with that fence. Won't people wonder and begin to think, is this man running mad? You know? And that is what some people are doing. Satan could not do Job anything because the protection of God around him was intact. And I said to you, Satan would not be able to harm you this month, for the rest of this year, and all your life, if you make sure that God's protective hedge around your life is still intact. Number two, Daniel. Much as the enemy tried so much, Daniel continued to enjoy God's favor, protection, and blessings. Generally, because iniquity was not found in him. Because iniquity was not found in him. If we check your life, if we x-ray your life today, will iniquity be found in you? That is the question we need to face, brethren. And then number three, the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible testified that from babyhood, in Luke chapter 2 verse 52, it says, Jesus increased in stature and in wisdom, and he had favor with God and favor with man. Jesus Christ enjoyed God's favor and protection throughout his earthly ministry. You know, because no sin was found in him. You know the story in Matthew chapter 4, when he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the enemy. The Bible says that much as the devil tried to tempt Jesus, in every way whereby he tempted Jesus, Jesus never, he didn't fall for any of those things. You know, and in John chapter 14 verse 30, he himself testified and said, the prince of this world cometh, and he found nothing in me. Now, in the entire scripture, the only time when the protective hedge of God around Jesus was removed was when he was hanging on the cross. When he was carrying our sins, your sins and my sins. That's to tell you that sin removes our protection. Automatically, the moment a believer dabbles into sin, listen, if there is anything we must teach ourselves in the church, if there is anything that we must continue to remind ourselves until Jesus Christ comes, it is how for every one of us, every brother, every sister, every boy, every girl, how to live without sin. How to live a life of victory over sin. Listen to me, you will be wasting your precious time and be wasting the precious time of the servants of God if you continue to live in sin and then you continue to go for prayers, for deliverance, for healing, for this and for that. You just be wasting your precious time. But if you learn how to live a life of victory over sin, then you realize that when you came in, God gave you a protection. God gave you immunity. Not made by man, but he made it himself. If you don't tamper with it, you go through life successfully. Now, compare this ones I've mentioned with the following people. These people who removed God's protective hedge around themselves and they suffered the repercussions. Number one, Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, they were cursed and they were chased out of paradise. You know, you can imagine when God, the Almighty, places a curse over a person's life. Who is going to break that curse? That's why we must try our best to avoid such problems. They were crossed and they were chased out of God's paradise. Number two, Joshua and the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 7. When God warned his people not to take of any across things, and one man, Achan by name, disobeyed God and he took the things that had been crossed. It was not just the only one that suffered. The rest of the children of Israel, all of them, they suffered with him, because when they went to fight against Ai, you know, that was a very, very small country. They were defeated. And that is one of the signs to know when the Spirit of God is against a person. Little problems that shouldn't get you down will be getting you down. You know, you will be living in defeat, regular defeat, constant defeat. And that's why I keep challenging us here every now and then. Check your life regularly. Check your life constantly. You know, sin is like sickness. If today you are sick, you had fever, and then you are treated, does that mean that another day you can't have fever? So you must constantly check yourself. The moment you know that I'm not feeling well, you know that I need to see a doctor. The same way spiritually. The moment you realize that my life, something is wrong with me. My relationship with God is no longer what it's supposed to be. Then you need to quickly retrace yourself back to God before it becomes too late, when Satan will make a mincemeat of your life. A whole nation, the children of Israel, were defeated. You know, twice, until Joshua retreated with the people, and then he sought the face of God. And God told them, somebody in your midst had sinned, and he has done what I commanded you as a people never to do. Again, remember the case of Samson. Samson came into life with a coat of many colors. In fact, it was an angel who gave the good news to his mother that she was going to take in and have a son and name him Samson. But you see, when Samson came into life, like I've said, maybe when he became a teenager, he started to tell his parents, I'm the owner of my life, leave me alone, I'm free to do whatever I like to do. Eventually, Samson gained his freedom, you know, to do whatever he liked to do. And it was those things he wanted to do, those things he wanted, how he wanted to live, that eventually destroyed him. May the Lord not allow in your life what will destroy you. Because a lot of the times, some of us just don't know how to submit ourselves to discipline. If you have gone through your parents, you didn't submit yourself to discipline. You have gone through school, you didn't submit yourself to discipline. And especially if you're a woman, you have married, you didn't submit yourself to discipline in your marriage. Now you have come to church, won't you still submit yourself to God's discipline? And I tell you, this is your last bus stop. After the church, no more. So that all of us should examine our lives and ask ourselves, where am I living recklessly? Like a teenager, I'm the owner of my life. Nobody can dictate to me. The day you run into trouble, you remember that there are some people somewhere that can help you. Samson, at the end of his life, died a shameful and painful death with the enemies of God. Again, Eli and his sons, you know, they perished and brought God's cross upon their lineage. And then again, number four, King Saul, because he broke the hedge of God around him, he became vulnerable. God turned his back against him. God was no longer speaking to Saul, whether by dream or prophecy or Urim or Thummim. And in the end, God rejected him as king, and he died a tragic death. And then lastly, in that line, even King David. David that was a friend of God. And that's why, listen to me, there is nothing like once saved, forever saved. You may be doing well today. The fact that you are doing well today does not mean that you will forever be doing well. That's why all of us must keep watching ourselves every day. The fact that you have read the Bible last year does not mean you shouldn't read it now. The fact that you read the Bible yesterday does not mean you shouldn't read it now. The fact that you prayed yesterday does not mean you shouldn't pray today. The fact that you came to church last Sunday does not mean you shouldn't come today. If you don't learn how to maintain a regular and fervent relationship with God, you will soon find yourself overtaken in sin. David, although God loved him, he had a good relationship with God, but at the time he erred and fell into sexual immorality. He slept with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and because of that, he broke his edge and he became vulnerable. Do you know that it was because of that singular act that his own son disgraced him openly and slept with one of his wives? And then that same son chased him out of the throne, and David became a vagabond all over the place and roaming the streets. And again, at the end of the day, God said to David, I have put a sword into your family. You know, his family became shattered and scattered. His children started to fight against themselves, killing one another, all because of love of power and that sort of thing. All those things would never have happened to David if David never ventured into sin. Listen to me. Some of you think you can readily sin and then come back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Forgive me. Yes, he will forgive you. But the repercussions of what you have done will always be there. There will be something that God will put into your life that even in your old age, you will remember that it was because of this thing that I did when I was 13 or when I was 15 or when I was 16. That is why I'm still suffering this thing till now. A lot of you find it so easy to disobey the word of God. But I tell you, God will forgive, but the pain of your waywardness will always be there. David carried the scar of his sin into his grave. I hope you know that. So if you don't want to be going about life with scars of sin, please make sure you don't, with your own hands, begin to tear your coat of many colors. In conclusion, as I round off, number one, I say temptation is common to all, but temptation is never an excuse to commit sin. God has promised us in his word, he said he will never tempt us above what we are able to bear. And that is the truth. It is like we are all lifting weights. God knows the weight you can lift. He has promised that he will never allow anything that is beyond you to come your way. He will never test you beyond what you can bear. That is why Brother James said in James chapter 1 from verse 12, he said, if anybody commits sin, let that person never say that God tempts him. He said, every man is tempted when he's drawn out by his own lust. And then when lust conceives, you know, when a woman takes sin, after sometimes she will give birth. When lust conceives, after some time, it will deliver sin. That is what makes people to sin. Never say God is tempting you. No. Check your own lusts and your desire. Real victory in life is when we gain victory over temptation. That is real victory. Today, a lot of us will come to church and we testify, praise the Lord. God has given me this. God has bought me this. God has bought me that. You really find people who come to church and testify and say, brethren, praise the Lord. There is this habit of sin that I've been struggling with for so long. And I prayed and I fasted and I went to the man of God to pray for me, to lay hands on me. And brethren, I'm here to testify that the Lord has set me free. For the past 6 months, for the past 1 year, for the past 2 years, for the past 3 years, I have never dabbled into that sin again. That is real testimony, brethren. Not all this bread and butter thing. that we testify of. A lot of people who come to church, I have just bought this, I have just bought that. A lot of them check their lives. There are all kinds of habits of sin. So I said to you today, real victory is victory over temptations. Number three, or rather number two, there are three types of temptation from Adam to Christ and till now. Only three types. And you find it in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. And the Bible calls them the lust of the eyes. Once you can control yourself, once you can caution yourself as per what you see, don't let me say what you see, what you watch, because watch has more of action in it. What you watch. And that's why this year 2012 in particular, I have done a kind of experiment in our home. This year so far, this is July 1st, we have not put on any television in our house, although they are there. And some of you, it has become an addiction, and you don't know it. You find it difficult to control yourself. The moment you enter, before you even pray, self, you go there, bah! And then you are beginning to watch. And that is why many cannot read their Bible. I have finished my Bible from Genesis to Revelation this year. I have started the second round. And now I am in Leviticus. Those of you that have not been able to do it, why? Check yourself. Control your appetite. What you watch. You know, overseas, some parents find it difficult to go for shopping with their children. Because those children, that's when you know children that are properly raised. Children with good home training. Some children, every time their parents take them to the shopping mall, oh, wahala. The police will almost arrest the dad or mom. Because they will be shouting and screaming and crying. I want to buy this. I want to buy. Let's go. And you know abroad, they don't beat them. Wahala. And this child will behave like a goat. No, I must buy. I must buy. Let's go now. A lot of the time, when you go to the mall, you see that kind of drama. And then you know that these children are not well raised. Even here, sometimes you see it. When you are driving, a family, a father and the mother, and then the children at the back. Watch it. Those people who sell snacks, they target vehicles that have children in them. When our son was very, very small, we trained him as young as 2 years. We trained him. Whenever any of those people come to our car, tell them, go away, shout at them. So it's even the boy that will be screaming at them, go away, what do you want, go away. And then they'll be wondering, what type of, because it is the child they want to use. A lot of parents buy what they should not buy for their children. They buy out of pressure because that child is crying. I want mommy, I want this ice cream, I want ice cream. And the child will be screaming in the car. It shows that you have not trained your child properly. It shows that that child lacks proper home training. Brethren, church is not a playhouse. It is a place where we are taught the word of God. It is a place where we are shown the way to live. Don't just come to church like someone who has come to watch film. Listen and receive good counsel. The lust of the eyes. And then the lust of the flesh. What we feel. What we feel. You know? What you taste. What you put in your mouth. A lot of people have become slaves of food. You know, when we married, one of the things I told my wife over 21 years ago, before we married, and I said, look, if anybody in life ever thinks he can punish me with food, then that person is wrong. He knows. You can't say, ah, let me cook. What am I? I'm going to cook one special food to win his heart. She knows it can't work. There's no special food. That may even be the time I'll say, I'm not going to eat. You know, fasting, I am at home with fasting. And that is it. Before I gave my life to Christ, when I was a little boy, one of the ways I show that I am angry, is to refuse food. Hunger strike. And I will refuse food until my mother goes on her knees and beg me. And say, John Toriola, all coming. Olo worry me. You know what that means? You know, but you see, although now that I'm born again, it has become a good skill, a good discipline, a good training. Once when we were in our former church, and I had a secretary, the secretary once complained to my wife. He said, I don't know what I've done to Pastor. Every time, you know, there will be soft drinks and malt in the fridge. I will ask him, sir, what do you want? Should I go and buy something for you? And you know, your secretary wonders, this man has been here since morning till night. He needs to take something. Should I go and buy biscuit? Should I go and buy gala? Should I go and buy sausage? Should I go and buy bolli? I said, I don't want anything. So one day she went to my wife, I don't know what I've done to Pastor. My wife said, no. Pastor doesn't eat anyhow, except what is prepared by his wife. And that's why some of you have become addicts of eateries. Fast food joint. Your children, the only way they know it's Sunday is not when they come to church. It's when they go to fast food joint. I haven't visited any fast food joint, at least in this country, for over a year. It's only when I travel and people just take me to some of those places to eat that I visit them. What are they doing there? What are they eating there? And at the end of the day, you go there to feed into your system all kinds of poisonous junks. And that's why, to the glory of God, I make my boast in God, I have never had typhoid in my life. I only hear people have it. I wonder what is causing it. Because I don't eat carelessly anywhere. And I don't drink water aimlessly anywhere. And that is the truth. Listen, the lust of the flesh, even the clothes we wear, some of you, you follow fashion too much. You've got to begin to curb some of these things. You've got to be able to demonstrate to your flesh and say to your flesh, you will not control me, I will control you. You've got to gain victory and mastery over your flesh. And that's why some of you can't come to vigil. You know, you say, vigil, how can I stay awake all through the night? I've been busy all day long. Yes, I am busy all day long also. And I come for vigil. Have you ever seen me slept at vigil before? We must train ourselves. The Bible calls the Christians soldiers. But a lot of us are not living like soldiers. We allow our flesh to run riot, and we're living such a careless life. Please tame yourself. And then the Bible talks about the love, the lust of the flesh. Point number three, these areas that we need to watch: love of money, love of sex, love of power. Those three things, we need to watch them. We need to control them. We need to subdue them. And that's why, if you are single and you are engaging in sexual activity, the punishment of God is upon your life. Believe me, your defense has been removed longest time. You have spiritual HIV/AIDS. And that is the truth. You see, the pity part of it is when the punishment will come, that's when you now begin to run to one prayer house. No. It is not the day when God starts to punish you that you committed that sin. The day you committed that sin, it has been written against you that let hands be joined with hands, you will not go unpunished. The day you committed that sin, your face fell. It was like the man that rain fell overnight and woke up in the morning and saw that all the fence around his house has been removed. And if you are married and you are going outside of marriage to gratify your sexual desires, the same thing. You are living a defenseless life. The coat of many colors that God gave you, with your own hands, you are tearing your coat into pieces. So who is going to help you? So who is going to give you another coat? Am I going to give you my own coat? If you, God gave you your own coat, God gave me my own coat, and with your own hands you decide to tear your own coat into pieces, then I can't give you my own coat. I am sharing with you that this week, this month, by the grace of God, my wife and I are 21 years old in marriage. And to the glory of God, I stand to testify that within those 21 years, I have never, ever seen the nakedness of another woman. I have never, ever gone out of my marriage to gratify any sexual desires in life. So, if I can do it, why can't you do it? And then some of you that are still so young, you are becoming sexually active. Your punishment will be much. By the time those things will begin, no church can bail you out. Look at David. Nobody could help him. He was alone. Every man, every woman will be alone in his and a punishment. If God gave you a coat of many colors and with your own hands, you tear your coat into pieces, you are the one that will suffer it. Look at the story of that young girl I told you. Who suffered now? Is it the father? Is it the mother? Is it the brothers and sisters? And maybe she was going to church, only deceiving herself. A teenager of 15 years. She died, you know, she had not even come to the prime of her years. She died a premature death. And she died a shameful, a painful, a tragic death. Don't die like that. All of us will die, but die honorably. Die in a befitting way. Die that your children and grandchildren will say, with thanks to God, we announce the passing away to glory of our dear father or mother, so, so and so. Don't die and then they say, we regret to announce the death of... Even if men don't say it, heaven is saying that we regret that, you see. That one has gone to hell again. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Some people, it is love of power. They love recognition. I continue to teach the leaders in the church. You know, when some people leave the church, it's a very complex issue. Some of them cannot tell you the reason why they left. Some of them, it was because of sin, and pastor has discovered. And for fear that they will be brought out, they ran away before the detective will announce them. For some, it is because they want recognition. Recognition. And once they try, and they cannot get it, in frustration, they will leave. Love of position, love of titles, love of power. Some people who come into this place, they realize, in that church, they call the pastor, they all call around him. Even the pastors, where they call her Sister Money. What type of church is this one? They want Reverend Doctor Chief Owonikoko has come. And the moment they cannot find it, they won't stay. Forget it. So some of you don't bother your head over such people. Let us continue to pray for the right people who are heaven conscious, who want to serve God genuinely and sincerely. To say, you think a man that is looking for a church where he can go on rampage with women, if that type of a man comes here, do you think he will stay? It's either he stays and changes, or within a short while, he will realize, this place is hot too. I better find another place. Friends, love of power, love of power, the pride of life. You want to be recognized. You want position. You want title. You want everybody. You want to carry yourself with air of importance all over the place. Let's be humble. There is nothing any one of us have that we have not received of God. Sometimes when I relate with people, they are shocked. They say, Pastor, I owe you. Why? I say, what is the big deal? What is the big deal? A whole who? And don't forget what I've always said. All the pastors that are carrying all the titles, Papa, Bishop, Daddy, which one again? Reverend Doctor, Reverend, whatever. So what title should we give Jesus? And we all call him by his name, Jesus. Don't you say Jesus? Is he your mate? And we call Jesus. And yet, men in the church, mere men, because of pride of life. Some churches, they like some seats. This one for the senior most, and then the senior, and then the junior. All these things we are doing will not earn us any commendation from God. Number four, listen to this. Temptations help to sift the wheat from chaff. It helps to separate fake from genuine and to differentiate the carnal from those that are truly spiritual. God uses temptations, and I'm showing you how he uses them. Just like weightlifting or any sport. Is it a race? Is it high jump? Is it long jump? They continue to increase the stakes until we will know your level. The Bible says if you fail in the days of adversity, then your strength is small. Your spiritual worth is how many temptations you can overcome. That is your spiritual worth. Some people will lie all because of 100 naira change. 100 naira. 100 naira. They are so weak that 100 naira will make them to lie. Some may not lie because of 100 naira. Their own is 1,000. Once you want 1,000. Some may not lie because of 1,000. But if they raise it to 100,000, that brother will fall. He will fall. Some, 100,000 will never make them lie. But 1 million. Some, it is millions. And now we are hearing about people who are stealing money in billions. Are you totally dead to sin that even billions will not move you? You won't be cause of billions of naira. Either lie or cheat or defraud or steal. You see, a lot of the things people bring to churches to dedicate, they are products of fraud. They are proceeds of lies. They are proceeds of theft. Let us check our heart. Let us examine our ways and put right our ways with God. Who are we trying to impress? You've gone to lie, you've gone to defraud somebody, and then you gain so much money, and then you bought a vehicle, and then you brought it to church. Or a lady, you've got to sleep with certain men around, collect money from them, and then you buy something, and then you are coming to show off in church. To buy a dress, and then you are walking like a grasshopper. No, it doesn't make sense. The angels of God, they look at you and they pity you while you are carrying yourself with that air of importance. Brethren, if you want to know how spiritual a person is, let us expose that person to temptations. If it is possible, you know, the way they can do it abroad, put that person in a house and with hidden cameras all over the place, and that person will not know that you are watching. And the person goes, sneaks, and then everybody will be watching. And then we'll see whether that brother will do it or not. Or put a brother and a sister together in a house, unmarried, and let them share different rooms, and then be watching them through hidden cameras without them knowing that people are watching. And that's when we know somebody that is truly born again, unlike these too many fakes that we now parade in churches. And lastly, number 5, Christ and his word give us sure victory over temptations. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. And that's why I know, I don't care whatever your excuses are. The moment you are not making yourself available for Bible studies, for the teaching of the word of God, the moment the word of God is not a strong priority in your life, if you have not fallen, I know that you are close to it. I can't classify you as a strong Christian. I know that you are weak. So for some of you, if any bad news now happen or come up and they say, our brother so fell into this thing, or sister so fell into that thing, my reaction is, why not, if not? Because we don't see that brother at Bible study. We don't see that sister at Bible study. If I say, let us open to so place, let a brother read, anybody that finds it, read. There are some people in church, they are the first to find it and read. And there are some people perpetually, they will never make attempt. Let me say, okay, let us pray. We want 2 or 3 brothers or sisters as led by the Spirit to come and round off this prayer point. There are some of you, you've been in church for years, you will never ever come out. Something is wrong with you. If some people fall into sin, it should not be anybody's surprise. Because if you watch them very well, you know, last Sunday I was telling you about discernment. We know those that are weak in church. We know those that are strong in church. Those of you that, once we say it's party time, oh my God, hey, that's when you'll be excited. Hey, they are playing music, you want to dance. But Bible study, you just go cold, or you will hiss. Then nobody needs to be surprised that you are spiritually sick. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28, all of you that know that you are spiritually sick this morning, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. The brothers of Joseph, they thought they could harm him. They thought they could destroy his dreams by tearing into pieces his coat of many colors. Listen to me. When men do such things, it can never stop the plan of God for your life. Never. Rather, it will hasten it. The only thing all of us have got to watch out against is sin. So long as you are in the will of God, whatever men do to you will only strengthen the purpose of God for your life. But if you allow sin to break your hedge, then you become vulnerable. That is when we now begin to run from place to place. Enemy, 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 enemy. All those enemies have been there before you were born. And yet God protected you. Like somebody cried to you, he said, now people talk about witches and wizards. There are some of us, we grew up with witches. Witches carried us and they couldn't do anything. When you were a baby, who watched over you? Now that you are running from place to place for prayers against the witches, please bow down your heads and let us pray. My coat of many colors. We are going to take that song again two more times and then we are going to pray. I've got a coat, you've got a coat, all of God's children have a coat. When we get to heaven, I'll put on my coat. I'm gonna heaven. Let's somebody come and help us.
Praise the Lord. While the message was going on, I adapted that song to suit the message. So we're going to take the former one and the adaptation. The first one, I have a coat, you know it. The second one, you have a coat, I have a coat, all God's children have a coat. As I walk to heaven, I'll put on my coat. I'm going to walk around God's heaven. Is that clear? You have a coat, I have a coat, all God's children have a coat. When I get to heaven, I will put on my coat. I'm gonna walk all over God's heaven. Now repeat after me. You have a coat, all God's children have a coat.
Begin to pray and say, Father, please help me not to tear my coat of many colors with my own hands.